We're still in the research process, so I mean, we're still gathering data and crunching numbers, so we don't have, at this point, recommendations in hand. I can tell you we have been looking at solar arrays at airports across the country to study the wildlife communities that inhabit those solar arrays and compare that with what's going on at nearby airports to see if those solar farms introduce any new wildlife hazards. And then we're looking at, in Mississippi, these biofuel crops like native warm season grass mixtures and also a monoculture of switchgrass, which is a common plant that is used for biofuel production. And we're studying bird and mammal communities at those as well. And so the idea here is to identify some biofuel crops that are compatible that with safe airports, so they don't attract the types of animals that we don't want at airports because of the risk of a damaging wildlife strike.
But the overarching theme that I see in all this across the federal government is use of open land that is under public control of all types, such as military bases, and converting in that land to some kind of energy production that's not the traditional ways.
Yeah, that's right. So everyone seems to agree that we need more alternative energy production in this company. That's pretty clear. But often with these types of land conversion, that can be really bad for wildlife. And so what we're saying here is a pretty simple idea. It's why don't we see if we can locate some of those alternative energy production facilities at one of the very few places where we don't want wildlife anyway, and that's airports. And airports have a lot of land that's available, and that land's there for a reason. It's there for safety and security and noise abatement and so on. But for the most part, that land is sitting idle right now. And so we're looking to see if we can make more productive use of that land while maintaining a safe environment for aircraft.
So just real quick, how much of a danger does wildlife pose to aircraft at airports?
Well, it's a significant safety hazard. So there are dozens of wildlife strikes in the country every day. About 15% of those cause damage to the aircraft, and it's a problem that's all over the country. I mean, there really is nowhere that's immune from this, and we know that a very conservative estimate of damage in the United States is over $600 million per year in damage from wildlife strikes, and that doesn't include strikes to military aircraft.
What sort of wildlife are you hoping to deter from these fields?
There have been over 40 strikes with song sparrows, which is a very common bird across the country, and none of those have ever caused damage to an aircraft. Now, on the other hand, there have been over 800 strikes with Canada geese reported to the FAA, and over half of those caused damage to the aircraft. So if we can come up with land uses for airports that keep away the wrong types of wildlife, and like Canada geese, the large species and the flocking species, then we've accomplished something. So I trade Canada geese for sparrows any day.
We're speaking with Dr. Travis DeVault. He's a field station and project leader at USDA's Wildlife Services at the National Wildlife Research Center in Sandusky, Ohio. And what about the airport operators and owners themselves? That's not typically the federal government, but usually some authority operating loosely under state government. What kind of cooperation are you getting from those entities to do these projects?
There is a lot of interest in this. So especially for some of the smaller airports around the country, these are pretty tough economic times. And cutting the grass can be quite expensive, especially if you have, several hundred acres of grass at an airport. That can be a very significant amount of money that goes into buying fuel and paying people to cut the grass. And so in many areas, they are considering taking some of that grass where they can out of grass and turning it into something that's going to produce revenue for the airport rather than cost money. And so then the question becomes, well, what can we do that's not going to increase safety hazards at the airport? And that's where this research comes in.
Now, are any airports trying anything similar to this now?
Well, there's not much there is some haying, grass produced for hay, for animal forage at airports going on, but we're not aware of any actual biofuel production at this point. Now, the solar farm idea is catching on. There has been building of solar arrays across the country at airports. Indianapolis Airport, for example, is currently building one of the largest solar farms in the country, and it will be on airport property, and it's expected to produce power for about 1,200 homes.
Now, there are some startup costs and maintenance costs, even for solar facilities or switchgrass, those kinds of things. Who pays for all this?
Well, I mean, I expect that would be depend on the individual situation, but much of that would be borne by the airport. But we suspect that there would be a net benefit simply because, as it sits right now, most of that land is not producing any revenue, but yet it's costing quite a bit of money in maintaining the grass.
Now, my understanding is a lot of that land is sitting unused because of federal regulations. What does the federal government, the FAA in particular, have to do now to make this more popular and make it so that airports could, in fact, do this type of thing more broadly?
Sure. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of regulations surrounding airports and how the land is used. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, monitors that very closely. As far as solar facilities go, they actually came out. They published a guide to building solar facilities at airports late in 2010. So they're completely on board with that. We're looking at the wildlife communities just to make sure that's not going to increase the hazard. As far as biofuel production goes, there are regulations against that discourage agriculture at airports, but the FAA has been very forward-thinking in this, in my opinion. They're supporting this research, they're very interested in it, and they have expressed a willingness to revisit their regulations depending on the study findings.
So what are the next steps? What can we expect to see soon?
Sure. Well, we're ending the field work right now on our solar research. So we should be coming out with a study, a published study, within the next few months on that. And right now, with collaborators at Mississippi State University, we're studying switchgrass and mixed native warm season grasses to look at the wildlife communities there. On the horizon, I think, are looking at different types of biofuels to determine how they might affect safety at airports. There are many different types of candidate biofuels, exotic grasses, native plants, all different types of things. And some of these are new enough in this context that we don't know a whole lot about how the wildlife uses it and which type of wildlife it attracts. So that's on the horizon, is to start screening different types of biofuel plants to hopefully come up with a suite of candidate types of biofuels that might be compatible with safe airport operations.